We're here today with my wife Sandra and John. How you doing, John?
Oh, I'm great. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else on the planet.
On the show today, we have Don Geisler, who is the owner and designated broker of our brokerage, Indy Realty. And later on today, we're going to have Angela Moore and Annalisa Masuna, who are discussing real estate sales and planning. So beginning with you, Don, how are you doing, sir?
I am doing wonderful. I also wouldn't want to be anywhere else on the planet right now.
Yeah. It's like having a member of the family here every time you hear Don.
It is so fun. And I don't know if you guys have been outside lately, but it kind of feels like winter out there. It's fun.
Isn't it great?
Oh, my goodness. I'm wearing
feel
long
a lot
sleeve.
Like Christmas, for sure.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah. It's really good.
I got up this morning. You brought it up. Now I'm going to run with this. I got up this morning, and so we're recording on Thursday, and I asked Alexa, I said, what's the weather today? And I got back 58 degrees with a high of 60. And I was like, no, Alexa, what's the weather in Tucson today?
Right.
58 degrees with a high of 60. And yeah. I just was floored.
I'm such a baby. I go straight from, like, I go from AC straight to the next day, the heat on. Right. There's no in between. There's no time to enjoy having it off. Sometimes on the same day.
Yeah.
And it just works that way. I have to be. Right. I do not like the cold weather at all, but it's fun out there.
That's Tucson for you.
I thought we'd begin the show talking about the business and how it's going, how it's growing so far since the last time we talked with you, Don.
Our brokerage, Indy Realty, is going fantastic. We have opened our new office location at 7255 East Tankaverde Road. Mm. You know, a lot of you, if you've heard me talking about the along the way, getting it ready, and now it's a, you know, it's not fully furnished and stuff, but it just came out so wonderful. It's so gratifying. I actually had a service person come in who serviced a building before we did the remodel, and he said, I didn't even recognize the place. I didn't realize I was in the same place. And that was the most gratifying thing I heard in a long time, because I've been in there every single day for months and months and months. And it's nice to hear that our vision has come true. So, you know, not just for the building, but our company, our platform, our systems, and, you know, our agent population is just so wonderful, so fantastic. I mean, could not ask for anything more.
Yeah, we've grown a lot since the last time we talked.
Yeah, we definitely have. We have agents coming on board monthly. And seriously, I say this in all of the word that I put out in the street, but agents really love working at Indy Realty. And gosh, we just love being there. It's just going so well. Beyond better than I ever could have even dreamed.
And you have a new business manager. Office manager.
We do. We have Jackie Torres. She is our new branch manager. And we have another managing broker on board. So I could not be more gratified to have such a wonderful professional helping lead the company, lead the organization. And just things are wonderful.
You great. Know?
You know, it's funny because people ask, you know, who we work for. And when we say Indy, they ask, what does that stand for? Do you get that a lot?
I do.
As well?
I do. And I can tell you that the core of our advertising campaign, our outreach, you know, as far as the business advertising goes, is to exactly explain that, which is that Indy, in case you're not aware, is short for independent. And we put such a high premium on being independent. It's something that's near and dear to me. One of my highest operating core values is freedom. Mm-hmm. And that resonates with me in lots and lots of different ways. But as a company, we really value independence. I think that our agents, our real estate professionals that work with us, also highly value independence, autonomy, the ability to operate their business the way they want to operate it. And one of my driving principles is that we don't do things a certain way just because that's the way that it's always been done. Mm-hmm. You know, so being Agreed. Independent is important to me. And I also feel very strongly that the population of buyers and sellers are coming to value independence a lot. Mm-hmm. We see that they're gravitating toward models that acknowledge the fact that this is their home, this is their investment. We are the professionals. We are there to give them guidance and counsel them and give them the best advice that we can in line with our expertise. But we do have to remember this is their property, right. Their home, their investment. And we absolutely defer and take into consideration that the consumers, the sellers, the buyers, they really appreciate independence also.
You know, there was something that you said there about the guidance that I think buyers and sellers need today more than they have in recent times, for sure.
I think they do. I think it's critically important. I mean, the market has shifted. I mean, everybody knows that. So it's not like we're breaking news here or mm-hmm. coming across as all that profound or anything, you know, but the market shifted and there's lots of demand for property still, but the nuance of and the flavor of that demand has changed. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because if interest rates are now bumping 7%, which mm-hmm. is still, incidentally, a phenomenal historical rate for interest rates on a home purchase, but
right.
it's not in sync with what we are used to seeing in recent history.
Right.
You know, so it has shifted. So that means the mindset of the buying population has shifted and the mindset of the selling population is shifting also. But it is so important to be affiliated with a real estate professional that is in tune with what's going on, that is an expert and that can guide you. And for us agents, it's really important to be able to communicate and set expectations about what the market looks like now. Well, you know, your house will sell. John.
Well, I just wanted to close with this question before we went into the break. I mean, with Ray and Sandra, you have like the Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle of real estate agents.
Oh, thank you.
And you're talking about so many, you know, new real estate agents you're bringing on. Like, what would you account to, one, being able to get amazing real estate agents like Ray and Sandra, and what's really appealing the new agents that you're bringing on?
Well, always universally, agents are, you know, people that get in the real estate industry, they're intrigued by the flexibility, by the freedom, by being their own boss, you know, and I think that that's something that we bring, and at Indy Realty, I think we provide that, mm-hmm. you know, but with that autonomy, I mean, they learn that they have to work really hard. But what really brings people into the business is a spirit of service. Mm. I mean, I don't know anybody or hire anybody that just chases commission checks. Mm-hmm. I mean, any real estate agent that I know is more than willing to say, I don't believe you should continue down this path for whatever reason.
Yes.
You know, if it's not right for you, if you don't believe in it, whatever, as opposed to chasing checks. So, I mean, kind of the overriding answer to that question is people look for flexibility in their career. They want to have that freedom and flexibility, but they also have to be so passionate about service, about relationships, and about people. And when you focus on those things, the checks just come. Like, you make your living and it just comes.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to be discussing more about real estate with our designated broker, Don Geisler, who's also the owner of the company. And let you know you're listening to the I Am Real Estate Show with Sandra Johnson and Ray Smith on KVOI 1030, The Voice. We're going to continue in the next break. We hope you're having a good time. We're working really hard to try to bring as much information as possible to you guys. We're really having so much fun, me and my wife, and doing this show. Just keep listening. We promise you're going to have some more great content. And don't forget, on the second part of the show, we're going to be talking about estate sales and a little bit about that information. I think we're going to have a great time with the show. So we're going to break, and we will talk to you on backside. We're back with Don Geisler, who is the owner and designated broker for Indy Realty. He also talks about having high caliber real estate agents. He didn't talk about that. I just heard that word, and I thought I'd use it.
Oh, yeah, I always talk about that. As a fact. They helped me buy my house.
Before we went on break, you were asking about what I think attracts agents to the brokerage. Mm-hmm. And for us, you know, part of it is that independence that you have working for a small, I say small, but a local company. Part of it was just that you need to feel good about it when you go to work every day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you need to know that your broker is giving you great advice. You know, stay out. We call it real estate jail. There really is no real estate jail, but you want to stay out of trouble, you know, and make sure that you're doing things right. But you also want to feel good about going into the office and seeing the people that you're working with and know that you're working with really quality people.
Yeah.
And that's probably the first reason that we walked through the door and talked to Don. So
yeah, and my thought in asking that question, I know Don would never admit it, but just his poise. Like, I could definitely see, you know, in you guys working for him, why you believe in him and why you trust in him, and you know why you followed his lead to this point, because he just has uncanny poise, and he just really has a way about him and has a knowledge base about him that shines through when every time he speaks. So
absolutely,
yeah, that's my compliment to you, Don.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. And we to pick up on what we were saying before, because we are independent, and because you guys always hear me talking about independence and freedom, it most certainly doesn't mean that we have a willy-nilly operation going
exactly.
on there.
Exactly.
One of the things that we take the most pride in, and why I'm so thrilled to have brought on Jackie as our new managing broker to be additional support, is that supporting our agents is what we do, you know, and we take the most pride into helping them grow their business, helping them get through their transactions, but also creating a culture that everybody loves. And I say the word loves and I mean it. You know, culture is a buzzword that you can go anywhere you want and interview for any position, and people are spouting the word culture.
Yes.
But we live it. We are trying every day to create and maintain a culture that people want to be a part of. That's one of the most important things. And, you know, to have the expertise and to be able to appropriately support the agents and support our professionals in their career is among the biggest parts of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just thrilled to be part of the company. So let's shift here and talk a little bit about the market. You mentioned the market has shifted, but if you were having a conversation with a seller today, what types of talking points would you be hitting, you know, when you're talking about what they can expect in today's market?
You know, I could quote all of our hotline response all the time, which we always giggle about, which is, it depends.
And my favorite
you
words.
Know it and it depends on where they're coming from, because when somebody is looking at you saying, okay, we understand the market has shifted, tell us what that means and tell us what we need to do,
right,
you know, to achieve our goals, you know, that's one thing. And mm-hmm. that means right now you have to have flexibility. You have to be able to understand that we peaked at a price point that is not necessarily still there, that is an imaginary, arbitrary figure. You know, our goal is going to be go out and get your house sold in the time frame that you want for the most money that we can get you with regard to the time frame that you desire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the flexibility is really important. Like, for example, if rates have gone up, which have made buyers tight on what they can qualify uh-huh. for, or made them fearful even, we need to be able to say, as a seller, we're going to offer the concessions that will encourage you to view our home as a good value. Not only a home that you're in love with and an emotional, but also a very good value. You know, so what if as a seller, we may have to offer to pay a buyer's closing costs because their interest rates have gone up, mm-hmm. you know, or we may have to say we are willing to contribute to a buy down of your interest rate. There's mm-hmm. all kind of products out there. There's mm-hmm. a 3-2-1 buy down. There's all kind of great stuff out there that can help buyers get into their home. And, you know, sellers just need to understand the market changes every day. So what you saw 6 months ago is not necessarily what exists right now. Now, if they're coming at you just with my neighbor sold for this much 6 months ago, and that's what I expect, then you may have to have that conversation. You know, we go in with our tools and we dial down. Well, let's show you and let's take a look together at what's happening in your neighborhood over the last 3 months
mm-hmm.
or over the last 2 months.
Right.
So I can give you the best information I can give you, and you can make the best decisions that you can. But flexibility and not being too fixated on a particular number and breathing a little bit,
yeah.
being willing to listen and to collaborate. I'll say this, I've said this so many times. A client said this to me, it always stuck with me. Selling a home is a collaborative effort. Okay. And so that means that we give you the advice, we implement our marketing plans that we believe in, but the seller has to be on board
mm-hmm.
and the seller has to agree. And what I say is, if we want to test the market, you tell me, well, I want to see what the market says. Well, okay.
we're going to do what you want to do. So if you want to go on the market at this price in these terms, and you're saying we want to see what the market says, I'm more than willing to do that. And the second that we do it, we're going to give you world-class marketing and care and expertise. But in 30 days, if we're still sitting, then we may have to say, okay, the market has spoken. So you said that you wanted to talk to me, that we wanted to see what the market says. Now you just have to commit to me that when the market speaks, you'll listen and we'll work together and collaborate to achieve your goals. And it's funny because we were just having a conversation before and we're looking at you know, days on market in certain areas is now 60 or 90 or 120 days, and it feels alarming. And for me, 22 years in, those numbers aren't alarming at all. Those numbers are normal.
Right.
I mean, the one day on the market and two and zeros that we've seen recently, those are the alarming numbers.
Those are the numbers.
So we need to make sure everybody understands we might be just tilting into a normal market. And guess what? That's what we do. That's what we do. That's what we're here to help you with.
Right. We still have people that are out looking to buy homes. We still have people that are looking to sell homes. And we just need to find a way to get that information out there so that they find each other.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I must say, kind of from the, you know, the client standpoint, the best thing that my wife and I did in the process of purchasing our home, which closed October, you know, just, you know, a month ago now, that's weird to think, is taking you guys' advice. Like, and if there's anything that I can tell to people out there that are getting with real estate agents, particularly that are getting with you guys, you know, just follow their lead. Like, let them, like, let them take your hand like a little baby, because the more you do, the smoother it'll go.
Yeah. We like to, Don, how does people get a hold of you, please, though?
You can always reach me at 520-869-2376. That is my direct line. I am the designated broker and CEO of Indy Realty. We have a lot to share. We've got great platforms, great programs, and just a fantastic new location in a great part of town. So absolutely reach out to me. You can check out our website at indy-realty.com. We have a careers page on there. We have home value automated valuation tools on there. If you're interested in what your home's worth, jump on there. Let us know if you have questions.
Yep. One thing to mention is that Don talked about 3-2-1 buy down. We'll let you know that we're going to have John Spurr on the show in about a couple of weeks to talk about those things. So if you have any questions, just get a hold of us and we'll be able to talk to you. So this is Ray Smith and Sandra Johnson. We are on break, going to a break. Thank you, Don, for coming on the show again.
Yeah, thanks for having me again, y'all. Yeah. It's fun.
And don't forget, y'all, he's one of our sponsors. So come on to Indy. We'd love to have you. Hello, everyone. We are back from the break. Today, we are here honored to have two great estate sale attorneys.
Estate sale is the wrong term. I should have stopped him like three times ago and I didn't do it.
What is it?
Estate planning. Estate sale means we're going to the house and cleaning up grandma's.
I'm sure they can be there for that as well. Stuff. Yeah.
Hey, they're going to estate plan and sell and do everything else.
All of it.
They are that great. Estate. So we want to welcome Angela Moore and Annalisa Masunas.
Ooh, well done.
Well, thank you. We're happy to be here. Yes.
can you guys tell us a little bit about how you got started in this particular industry?
Sure. Well, we grew up with it, essentially. Our mother went to law school when we were both young, and so then she opened her own practice, and we grew up around it, and then we both joined her after we graduated from law school.
Wow.
And so for a while, we were the only mother-daughter law firm in the state, and now it's the two of us who are partners.
Wow.
Wow. That's super cool.
So who got licensed first?
Annalisa did.
I would ask,
younger.
Right? Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it's not your fault. Don't worry. No one blames you. Well, that's cool. So like the sister lawyer duo. I mean, how was that type of dynamic played out over the years, not only being business partners, working together, being together all the time, but you guys are sisters. I know traditionally, I mean, I have a brother. We fight like cats and dogs pretty regularly. How does that play out within what you guys do?
We actually love it. We get along just fine and, we have a good relationship. So it works very well for us professionally and personally. And
are you guys just in the state of Arizona? Do you do estate planning?
Correct.
Okay. Let's right. make sure everybody knows that the whole yes. state of Arizona they take care of.
That is correct.
So the estate planning questions now. Yes.
Okay, so let's start with just what is the difference between someone having a will and having a trust?
A will is saying that when the person dies, their assets in their name alone, without a beneficiary or joint owner, pass under the will to whoever they name in the will to get the assets. The trust is a contract that's usually created by the person, and then they are usually the trustee and they're the beneficiary while they're alive.
Okay.
And then the trust can say who gets money when they die. Hmm.
So often what people will do is they will use a trust as a way to avoid probate, a way to keep things private, a way to title assets into a trust, and you always have a will also,
okay.
but a trust would work in conjunction with a will to provide much more in terms of flexibility and options and, you know, benefits for tax purposes, any number of things.
Is there a financial number that you guys worry about when it comes to trust and getting a will? And you tell someone, hey, you get a trust, you probably need to have this much of assets that you need to worry about. Or is it no matter what, you should always think about getting a trust?
It depends on the person's goals and wishes. So okay. it's not as much how much money they have, but okay. what their planning goals are.
Mm-hmm. And what do you mean by that?
If there's a beneficiary with special needs, a beneficiary that can't handle money, if they want to plan in case of, you know, disability, uh-huh. how to handle it, if they want money kept in trust from a asset protection or roadblock from the beneficiary's creditors, it just depends.
Wow.
It also depends on the types of assets they have. So there are a number of assets where, you know, life insurance, a retirement plan, things where you can name a beneficiary and they pass directly on death. If you have beneficiaries who are all competent adults, you don't need extra planning, maybe you can get away with just a beneficiary designation.
Gotcha.
But then, like Angela was saying, there's situations, maybe you need extra planning. Maybe you want assets held in trust and managed for people for different reasons. So there are different reasons why you would consider options.
Can I say one thing? You guys sound like a team. Where you guys boom, boom,
one,
boom.
Two punch,
I'm just
yeah.
watching you guys. Like, Angela sits back, blah, 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 and Lisa, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wow. I'm just watching
you
guys.
Well, you know how the team works. You've got one right here. Yeah. Yeah.
We do, for sure. So can you speak to some of the things that someone outside of their assets might be looking at including in that estate planning?
As far as?
Besides assets, you always want to look at the healthcare matters. So living will, healthcare, power of attorney, HIPAA release, dealing with federal privacy laws, mental health, power of attorney. Some of those issues, if you're alive and can't handle health matters, who's making legal decisions for you?
In addition, if you're a parent of a child under the age of 18, you're going to want to make sure that you have named in a will someone who would be guardian if something were to happen to you. Or, you know, what your plans are for your children if you die and they're under 18, or if they're under the age where you would distribute assets to them, you may have special planning and directions. I mean, I have like a 5-page single space type list of directions for people if something happens to my husband and I for children related issues too.
My kids are in their 30s and I never did that. And I still feel guilty about it because like, I don't know what would have happened to my kids, right? Because I don't know. I just didn't ever get around to doing it. So now I have grandkids and I still feel guilty.
Well, you know, really it's important for anyone over the age of 18 to do planning. I mean, I have a son who now is 18 and one of the first things we did was his own estate planning.
Okay.
Because once you turn 18, even if you don't have a lot in assets, if something happens now, no one can make decisions for you. So you need powers of attorney. You need things in place so that if someone else needs to make decisions, whether it's a car accident, an illness, someone would be able to make those decisions for you.
And that's based on what your choices are before you become incapacitated.
Correct.
One thing I've noticed, I'm going to ask you guys, is that do you notice that because of the nature of estate planning and it really deal with death or bad things, it's hard for people to come to you guys and ask for assistance in ask for assistance.
And we got about 45 seconds to the break.
Usually when they're at my office, they're usually already prepared for to work with me on estate planning. Okay. They already know they need it. And then it's a matter of what routes they want to take or what they want to accomplish.
But there's no question. You talk to a lot of people. Oh my gosh, we've got to do our estate planning. We haven't done it yet. We've been meaning to. It's an easy topic to just defer.
Yes. Yeah.
And you shouldn't. People shouldn't.
We're here right now talking with Annalisa and Angela, who are both part of the estate planning. Thank you very much. I didn't hear no applause.
Yeah, that was well done. Yeah.
Applause.
What's the name of the organization?
So our law firm is Moore, Massoonis, and Moore.
Okay.
We're a law firm located in Tucson.
Awesome.
Moore, Massoonis, and Moore. I like that.
That's right. It like has a little like spin to it. Yeah. I like it. It just rolls off the tongue.
We're going to be back in a second with Annalisa and Angela talking more about estate planning. Thank you for listening to the I Am Real Estate Show on KBOI. Welcome back. We're back with the team of Moore, and I know I'm going to get it wrong after I studied. Moore, Annalisa's, and Moore Law Firm.
Let's start over. Moore,
Massoonis,
and Moore.
What did I say,
Annalisa? Yeah. Yeah, he did.
I think Moore, Garfield, and Batman, and Simpsons, and Moore, or something.
Moore, Massoonis. And Moore. I was practicing it the whole time during the break. I knew I was going to screw it up.
Yeah, you're good for that, though. That's law firm comedy,
here.
Really.
Law firm here, and we have with us, we're glad to have the two sisters, Angela and Annalisa, and I'll give it to my wife because I am screwing up.
Okay, well, we've been talking about trusts, and my next question really was, what does someone need to do if they want to make a change in the trust that they've established?
If it's a amend
it or restate it.
Okay.
The mic wasn't playing on that first part, but she said it's a revocable trust.
And if then, it's a revocable trust, they can amend it or restate it.
Mm. Okay. And how often would you say someone should go through and kind of reevaluate the plans that they have put in writing and make sure that they're still what they want?
It makes sense to look at it on an regular basis. Anytime there's a change of birth, death, marriage, divorce among the person or the beneficiaries, that might key, oh, we should look at the plan. Does it need to be changed?
And you guys don't know that, so they have to come out and let you guys come get a hold of you guys, right? Because you won't
correct.
Know.
Okay. It's up to okay. them to reach out.
Okay.
Okay. And in all honesty, I think family dynamics change a lot. And I'm just going to be really transparent here and tell you that my mom let me take care of all the finances. But when it came to if somebody had to make the decision for her health care, she thought I'd pull the plug. And therefore, I get zero say in that. And but relationships do change. And do you find that that's one of the things that people need to really consider?
Well, certainly. Anytime that there are changes in family dynamics, it's something that you want to consider. And people need to remember you don't have to have the same people managing the same things. You may have one person appointed to make healthcare decisions because they're good in a crisis. You may have someone else appointed to make financial decisions because they're the one that's better with the numbers. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I mean, you certainly look at family dynamics. You look at, and not just dynamics between the person setting up the estate planning and who they appoint, but who they appoint and the other people involved. You know, so if you have tension between the next generation, you may make considerations about who you pick based on that too.
Right. Did you have anything to add, Angela?
Sometimes if there's tension, you pick someone not family to serve if it might be a problem
of
naming children to serve, for example.
Wow. Well, and especially when there are blended families.
Yeah, especially
that's a
blended.
Great. Man, that's a great idea. That's a good thing to make sure people know that it doesn't have to be a family member. It can be whoever you feel comfortable to take care of things when things go awry.
Yeah, that's actually a great point.
Yeah, and something else you're talking about just earlier, you're talking about the kind of the different variables that one considers when putting together their trust. Like, I'm John Q. Public. I sit down with you for the first time. Like, what does that process look like? Walking me through putting together my trust and you know, preparing for, you know, my kids are 15, 14, and 13, preparing for when they are 18 and making sure that they have, whether it be a nest egg or have the things that they need to get them through college and get them, you know, a house when they get married and those type of things.
Well, so that's the initial part of the process is an initial appointment. And in that initial appointment, then, you know, Angela will often talk about what are their goals? What are their wishes? What are the family dynamics? Of course, you talk about what are the assets? What are the debts? What is it that we are looking to do here? What is it we're looking to do in the plan? And what are those goals? Children who are young, it's not necessarily just when they turn 18. We plan for children a lot longer than that. It may be that it goes until they may not have full control of things until they're older.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing you were talking about is that when entitled the home, and there are different ways to take title of the houses. And that's one thing we wanted to bring up. And you said there were four different ways they can do it and that needs to be discussed.
The title to real estate, tenants in common, there's joint tenants with right of survivorship, community property with right of survivorship. There's a huge difference in how assets are titled.
Uh-huh.
And it makes a difference whether it's community property and character, separate property and character. If people are married, obviously, if you're not married, tenants in common or joint tenancy with right of survivorship.
Okay. Well, and in addition, you can hold title in the name of a trust, and or if it's an individual person, it could be in their name alone. Yeah. And yes, as Angela said, it makes a big difference for tax purposes, for transfer purposes, and we also look at the possibility of a beneficiary designation versus putting it in a trust or not.
So I think that's something that people aren't necessarily aware of, that they can do a beneficiary deed on the house to kind of protect their children or siblings or whoever it is that they want to have own that property when they're gone. You did say, I loved it, entitlement matters. That's a question that we can't answer as real estate agents. If clients, you know, get their packet from the title company and it asks that, you know, how are you going to take title? And we are not really qualified to assist them in making that decision. So they really need to talk to someone like yourself and understand the implications of that decision.
And they really do, because I can't tell you how many times, not only in the estate planning arena, but in the divorce arena, you see people who take title to a property and have no idea that they just completely changed something from separate property to community property.
Wow.
Or that they've made a gift by changing the title or from their name to the name of a trust. You have to be very careful not to make an inadvertent gift with title changes too.
Now, I had taken a class where they talked about your title insurance, that when you change from an individual ownership to a trust, that you may lose that coverage that you were given when you initially took out the title insurance. Can you speak to that at all?
It does make sense to ask the title company, will they add an endorsement to cover the it being in a trust?
Mm-hmm.
But I think you'd have to check back with the original title company on that.
Okay, and that's kind of, I've spoken to one title or escrow officer who said, it may depend on the company or the person who's insuring that policy. We deal a lot with people that have aging parents. So for us in real estate, that's probably where we are interacting mostly with trusts or with issues where we have clients who are using a power of attorney. So my million-dollar question for you guys is when do we start having those conversations?
Ideally yesterday.
Yes.
But if not now. You have the conversations right away, because if someone hasn't done planning and they're over 18, they need to. Mm. So we do a lot of work with both generations or multiple generations. So it may be adult children with their aging parents, and you can coordinate between the generations.
That power of attorney, I know that the title companies want to review that. So it needs to be written in such a way that they're able to work with the person who's been selected. Do you have something specific that you do for real estate that is different than a general power of attorney?
Normally, we use the general power of attorney. We can certainly add specific language if the person wants that this includes the property located at such and such address, or do a limited one that just deals with real estate and not everything else. But it just depends on the person's goals and wishes.
That was my question. It's a collaborative effect. So I'm wondering, did you guys sit there and talk to them? Say, okay, tell me what you want. Well, here's the power attorney. We need to go moving forward. So you get some good guidance on that path.
You certainly can. And if there is a specific request, we can always address that.
Okay.
Most of the time when you're drafting documents like a power of attorney, it's from now for the next 30 or 40 years. I mean, now, mind you, there are updates that need to happen periodically, but it's for the foreseeable future. And so the power of attorney is going to cover more rather than less. So it covers any possible situation, whether it's financial or healthcare or mental healthcare.
That's so they don't have to come back to 4 or 5 times every time something comes up. Oh, we have to amend the power attorney for this. Oh, we got to amend it for this. You go with the larger sequence so you can make it easier for them in the future.
Right.
Yeah. And earlier you were talking about that kind of the trust is the umbrella. It's kind of how I was seeing it in my head. And if a will's a spoke of the umbrella, what are some of the other spokes of that umbrella?
When you do overall planning, if you set up a trust, you always do the pour over will. You also look at powers of attorney for health, mental health, financial. You look at whether the person does or does not want a living will, the HIPAA release, whether they want to assign personal property into the trust, the beneficiary designations, how assets are titled, who's named as beneficiary, what should go in the trust now, what should be payable on death to the trust or people. You have to look carefully for retirement, annuities, life insurance, IRAs.
Well, and business planning. I mean, there are different specialized trusts that can be utilized also. Again, if you have family members who have special needs, the different options that Angela addressed with assets and business.
And I'll ask you this before we leave, and before you tell us your contact information, rather, how do you keep all that information in your big old brains?
Yes, I was asking
and then your contact information.
Lots of work over lots of time.
Very good.
Post-it notes with to-dos, records. Yeah. Our contact information,
yes.
My name is Annalisa Masunas. I'm here with my sister, Angela Moore. We're with Moore, Masunas, and Moore. The phone number is 520-318-0001.
Hey, we can't thank you enough for being with us today. This is a tough topic, tough for us as well. We also want to take a minute to thank our sponsors. We have Horizon Inspections, Indy Realty, Inspired Life Mortgage, Rego Pest Prevention, Atomic Nutrition, and Sweet Little Chefs. We will be back next week. Hope you enjoy your weekend.